Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your orange eyeliner wearing, perpetual dry skin having. There's a painful cut on the top of my thumb that won't heal, and I'm 2 seconds away from closing it up with Gorilla Glue, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your I never get bored. My skin hates me right now, but I'm letting it feel the feels. Mixing a little bit of cinnamon-flavored coffee into your everyday brew is a game changer, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world. And we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what's your topic this week?
This week, I'm talking about how the United States military is using science fiction to predict future wars.
Ooh, I love that. That's exciting.
What about you?
I am talking about the really embarrassing names that companies give to men's products. Because apparently marketing companies think that guys, they think you're idiots and that you won't buy something or you won't know how to use something unless they are very descriptive and really dumb it down. So we're going to go through a bunch of products geared towards men with either just funny names or names that are embarrassing.
Yeah.
And a couple of products that make you roll your eyes too.
You know, it's so funny that you say that because I feel like the men in our lives, between Dennis and Neil and my brother, Dennis is like the product user.
Yeah.
Then it's like my brother who's a product user, but he's somewhere in between. And then there's Neil, who if you even point a bottle of lotion in his way, he's like, ew, 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 it's slimy. Get away from me.
Really? So he won't use anything.
Mm-mm. He uses a little bit of Axe pomade wax in his hair and deodorant, Bethany, and that is it. That man never washes his face. He never puts moisturizer on his face unless I absolutely beg him to because he's leaving like a flurry of dust around the apartment.
Does he think it's a woman's product or why doesn't he use stuff?
Too slimy. He doesn't like the feel of it.
Too slimy.
And I'm like, there are so many amazing products out there that absorb into your skin right away. You won't feel them.
You won't do it.
He won't do it. So I'm really excited to hear about the marketing ploys that these companies use to get men to use their products.
Yeah. I mean, because Dennis chimed in on a few of them when I was doing my research and he was like, yeah I've bought that and it's mortifying. Like, he's embarrassed to bring it up to check out because he's like, I don't
really,
this isn't who I am, you know, but like, because the name is so dumb, but he's like, but it's actually a good product. It's just a shame it's called, you know, ball wiper in the scent military. And it's like, all right.
I cannot wait to dig into it. I can't wait.
But before we do that, Kathleen, I want to talk to you about this new drop that Target just had in their home decor section.
Oh, okay.
I heard about it today because it came into my email from domino.com, which you know is my favorite unattainable home decor website.
Yes, yes.
And apparently a company called Studio McGee, have you heard of them?
Oh, Bethany, I know all about Studio McGee.
So they launched a line with Target. What's their deal?
So Studio McGee, okay. Studio McGee.
You're saying it like there's something going on. Are they racist?
No.
But, okay.
Okay, Studio McGee has their own Netflix show called Dream Home Makeover. Right.
Okay.
And Studio McGee is this husband and wife duo, the McGees, and they're really cute and they live in Utah. And I made that like, okay, Studio McGee, you know, I don't know what I want to call it, the breathing out reference before, because Studio McGee, their TV show, at least the first two seasons on Netflix, everybody that they have on their show makes me think that all people who live in Utah, they look exactly alike. Because, Bethany, one day my mom and I sat there watching Dream Home Makeover, just the first 5 minutes of every episode, because there's the husband and wife of Studio McGee, and they look like Mr. J. Crew, and she, you know, she wears, like, she shops at the same stores that I shop at. She looks like she could be me.
I'm looking at a picture of her, because they have a picture of her on domino.com.
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is her.
Yeah.
It's just a white woman with blonde hair.
Yeah, highlighted blonde hair in, like, a Saison dress.
What's that? that a saison? What's a saison dress?
Saison's this French clothing company. S-E-Z-A-N-E.
Okay, yeah, she's wearing some sort of like flowery,
yes, yes.
like Laura Ingalls Wilder dress.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay. And so every episode, they make over another couple's home. They all live in Utah and they're all talking about how they share values and whatever.
Okay.
And every time they open the door to the new house of this new couple that they're going to make over, it's like they're looking in the mirror. The couple looks exactly like them.
Kathleen, is this propaganda? Is this some sort of propaganda show?
No, it's not, but my mom and I will watch the whole season, just the first 5 minutes, and laugh our ass off because everybody looks the damn same.
Okay, because so this is okay. I'm glad to hear this background because I was very confused, and this helps clear it up because yeah. the Studio McGee X Target drop
yeah.
looks like the most basic every home decor thing yeah. you've ever seen 101. Mm-hmm. So it's like a thin bench. That mm-hmm. is made, that is white. Mm-hmm. And then there's a bronze wall sconce with a rattan lampshade
yeah. mm-hmm.
that they're selling for $100.
Yeah.
And then there's a woven basket.
Uh-huh.
And then there's another woven rug. And the rug is beige and white.
Okay.
They have a blonde wood storage container. Like, it's all very boring.
There's no color.
No.
It's all basics. Your feelings might be different if you went to the Studio McGee Instagram. They do have a beautifully cultivated Instagram. But I think, like, the most risque color that they use is, like, a medium dark navy blue.
Whoa. A pop of couleur.
Yeah. I will tell you this. I'm a part of this group online on Facebook called McGee & Co. Studio McGee Design Inspo. There are 90,000 members in this group, Bethany. And everybody posts photos of their homes to ask for advice. And everybody's walls are grayish. Their furniture is gray. They love oversized clocks. They all have white fireplaces with big wooden mantles that are like reclaimed wood. And
yeah.
this is so not my style. But every now and then you'll see somebody who has like a little bit of color worked into the style. And I'm like, oh, okay. I like how they integrated that. And then is why I'm a part of this group, but it's boring as fuck.
I guess the reason I'm really surprised that this is a thing now mm-hmm. is because this feels very like 2015
mm-hmm.
Instagram. Mm-hmm.
It is.
Maybe even like 2017 Instagram, where everything was perfectly curated.
Yep.
Every image was perfectly like you, everything was super bright. It all had to be the same. You could only have three colors on your whole Instagram grid.
Yeah.
And like everyone was curating everything to the teeth. And now I feel like Instagram isn't that, but this feels like it's still that. And so I'm surprised that they're still successful.
There are a handful of pieces that I could work into my everyday life, but I'm telling you, Bethany, Studio McGee, people worship at the altar of Studio McGee.
It's so wild. I think it's also because to me, the last name McGee is so funny because it's like the nickname you give to someone where it's like if your friend is always late, you call him like, you know, time blind McGee. Or, you know, if your friend is like really, really tall, you call him Legs McGee. And so to have like Studio McGee sounds to me just like it's your friend who can't afford a full apartment. So you call him Studio McGee.
I have to tell you, Bethany.
By the way, studios are expensive. So no shame to Studio McGee.
No, Boring McGee is what their real name should be, but I have to tell you. Okay, so I'm painting my living room this week, and I have one of those like chair rails, you know, where it separates like the top of the half of the wall from the bottom half of the wall.
Yeah, in case you get lost and you forget which part of your ceiling or your floor you're nearest.
I know. I don't understand them, but I don't have enough money to take them off. So
no, I actually think they're cool. They're cool.
Anyway, the top half is going to be painted a Studio McGee color.
Kathleen.
It's a Studio McGee approved Benjamin Moore color, which is Swiss dot. And if you Google Benjamin Moore Swiss dot, it is basically like a shade of white. Okay.
Okay.
Bethany, here's what really throws me off. Studio McGee suggests that when you go to Benjamin Moore, you do not get the full 100% Swiss dot. They recommend that the chicer shade is like the 60% Swiss dot. And so apparently you can ask for percentage of colors when you go to the paint store. It's kind of like the same thing as opacity. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. So then the rest of it is just their natural white base?
Yes, exactly.
So it's more white than even the white they're telling you to paint your wall white.
Yes, yes.
So don't even commit to a full not white.
Nope.
Only commit to 60% not white.
Or it's not Swiss dye. It's like Swiss coffee. That's it. Swiss coffee. But it does not look like any coffee that I would drink, let me tell you. Maybe
that
you.
It probably is the coffee I would drink. Yeah.
In the winter, my skin, Bethany, I feel like it becomes not even part of me. It just dries up into a shriveled shrew. And that is why I'm obsessed with what I call crack oil, aka Osea's body oil, because it makes my skin feel like it's human again and not like a leather bag that I have forgotten that's in the back of my closet rotting away.
Yeah, Osea's body oil is amazing. I use it too because when I get out of the shower in the wintertime, my skin immediately dries up and gets really itchy and tight. I use it on my arms, my legs. I put it on my feet before I put socks on.
Oh.
And the reason I love it so much is because I assume oil is oily and is going to leave a greasy feel. But Osea's body oil absorbs really quickly. And so you're left with super soft skin, but it's not oily or greasy. Plus, if you have tattoos, it makes the color on your tattoos pop out beautifully. By the way, Osea was nice enough to send us a bottle of their body oil, and Dennis had been using it at my house and loving it, and so I gave him the bottle and he snatched it up so quickly. Normally he's really demure if I give him something. He's like, oh, are you sure? This one he was like, yes.
Osea's products are vegan, cruelty-free, climate neutral, created with sustainably sourced seaweed, and made in California. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin.
New year, new you. Start fresh with vegan skincare and body care from our friends at Osea.
Get 10% off your entire first order with promo code TASTE at OseaMalibu.com.
You'll get free samples with every order, and orders over $50 get free shipping. So now is the time to make small changes that can have a big impact on your day-to-day. Head to OseaMalibu.com to find your new routine and use the code TASTE. All right, Kathleen.
Yes.
I want to be very clear. I am not attacking men or men's products. Mm-hmm. I'm attacking men's products, not because of the products themselves, but some of these companies just assume that dudes are so dumb.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny. And as I was doing my research, I saw a tweet from 2018 from at VR Online, and she tweeted, men's hygiene product names are getting ridiculous. And then there was a picture of her holding a stick of men's speed stick in the scent Ocean Snake Fuck, which was clearly photoshopped, but like that's sort of indicative of what these names are.
Ocean Snake Fuck.
Ocean Snake Fuck. And a guy tweeted back and he was like, I gotta buy all my shampoo and body wash from the neutralish aisle with the white bottles, because if I buy anything from the men's section, I end up smelling like gasoline. And that sort of is indicative of where we're going to be going here.
Okay.
So I'm just going to lay out some products for you and describe them, and we'll go from there. So what brought me into this world is I was reminded of something I've mentioned many times, which is Oikos Greek yogurt, but it was Oikos 000 Greek yogurt in the black container held by an NFL player.
000, does that have no fat in it?
I don't know.
And the only reason I ask is because, yeah, look at that, 000. There's nothing in it, Bethany. That's all the zeros.
So there's no fat, no calories, no protein, no nothing.
No, there's 17 grams of protein. The only reason I ask is because my new dietitian has me eating full fat yogurt and it's changed my life. But anyway, I digress.
Oh, full fat yogurt is the way to go, man.
Hell yeah.
Okay, the next one. Let's talk about some names. Mm-hmm. Dial soap. Mm-hmm. So they can't just have like the name of the scent. It has to either be Odor Armor or Power Scrub, because it's not manly if it's not doing something that you would do in battle, like be powerful or wear armor.
I'm trying to think of something else. Like, why don't they name the soap Kill Another Man?
Kathleen,
yeah,
we're going to get there.
Oh, okay.
I mean, put a pin in that.
Okay.
Okay, this is a product I came across that blew my mind. I thought it was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
This is the man hanger. For when you as a man think that regular clothes hangers are too wimpy for your manly clothing.
Good God.
So when that happens, you need to buy the $25 for one hanger man hanger. Why is it so expensive, Kathleen?
Why?
Because it's made from industrial grade rebar.
What the hell is rebar?
It's what they put in concrete to build buildings.
Stop it.
Like, you know, if you see a building that's being built,
oh my God,
you look down and you can see like skinny poles of metal sticking out from betwixt poured concrete.
Yep, sure do.
That's rebar.
Unless you are the Terminator or, I don't know, a Transformer and your everyday garb is, a couple hundred pounds, you don't need a rebar freaking hanger.
And if you're spending $25 for one hanger, uh-huh. I hope you have two things of clothing because that's so expensive.
Okay. I like the Costco pack where I get like 100 hangers for 15.
Okay, this one I gave side eye to.
Okay.
And then I read more about it and it actually charmed me quite a bit. This is the tactical diaper bag.
Okay.
According to their website, the original tactical diaper bag for dads and loved by moms too. By the way, we're going to be very binary with this because by and large, these product promotion companies are super binary. If you're not a man, you're a woman.
Yeah.
And if you're a woman, you're not a man.
Yep.
And never the twain shall meet. Okay. This diaper bag looks like the Army made it.
Yep.
It's like Army green canvas. It's got a lot of straps and buckles on it. And it's called the Deuce 3.0.
Okay, first of all, I hate the word deuce.
I do too. I hate it.
I fucking hate the word deuce.
I hate it. I'm camping. I gotta drop a deuce.
I hate it when it's referred to poop. I hate it when it's referred to the second of anything. It's a dumb word, and it reminds me too much of dulce de leche. I don't know. It's like the D's and the U's and the C's. It's all confusing.
What about when someone's done with a conversation and they throw up two peace signs and they go, deuces, and then they leave?
Stop it. That person needs to fall off the curb and bump into a car and die.
Okay, well, this baby tactical diaper bag, the Deuce 3.0, features extensive storage space, including a dedicated wipes pocket and cooler pocket, and mall webbing for diaper bag customization and additional capacity. And you know on like Army fatigues where they have the patch that has their name stitched on it on the breast? This one has that too, but it says hashtag dad life on it.
Oh, no. Oh,
okay,
no,
so here's
no.
the thing. I actually ended up being pretty charmed by this because we are still in a society where there are not a ton of like men's restrooms that have diaper changing stations. Like men are still not really seen as primary caretakers when it comes to products being marketed for them.
No, you're right about
that. So anything that makes a guy more willing to be like an active participant in raising his child, I'm all about. And if it takes a tactical diaper bag, so be it. It's actually a pretty cool bag. I like the looks of it. As someone who carries a satchel, I like it. It's pretty cool. So the tactical diaper bag won me over.
Or you could get the tactical diaper bag backpack, Bethany. Well, first of all, the tactical diaper bag that you're talking about is $99. The backpack version is $139. And then you can get the baby carrier bundle and the bag. So it's like a duo for $299, Bethany. And the guy in the picture wearing this has a full sleeve. Two full sleeves of tattoos.
Yeah, because he's a manly man.
He looks like, you don't see his face, but he looks like he's like, you know, a buff guy. He also looks like he's about to invade Afghanistan, but also doesn't have any childcare.
That's exactly what it is. It's like, I'm charmed by it. And it also makes me kind of sad that it's like this like panic about masculinity, but whatever. Like, it's cool. Take care of your babies. And if it's a tactical bag, wear that tactical bag. I'm all about it. Okay. Then there is a hand sanitizer. Kathleen?
Yeah.
Do you think men know when to use hand sanitizer?
I would think that they do for the most part.
Yeah.
Unless you're like a man who's like, touching this raw chicken's really not that dirty.
Okay. This hand sanitizer doesn't think that you know, men, when to use it because it's called Maybe You Touched Your Genitals Hand Sanitizer.
Oh, no.
Now, it's very tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
But the description on the website is, attention all congressmen, senators, heads of production companies.
Oh,
where God. You put your hands is none of our business unless it is on someone else. We've become quite concerned when you involve other people, though. Handshakes, high fives, and thumb wars are dangerous to the rest of us unless the number one after genital contact hand sanitizer has been used. So I think they're making light of like some gentle sexual assault.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah. They're leaning into the Me Too movement.
Great.
Jesus Christ.
Great. All right. Let's move on. This is the one that Dennis had strong feelings about as the resident man in my life. This is Manly Man Co.'s Duke Cannon Big Ass Brick of Manly Soap in the scent smells like victory.
Oh, no.
So
what's the name of this brand again?
It's really, it's confusing. So the overarching company is Manly Man Co.
Yeah.
And then a subsidiary a company under it is Duke Cannon. Which has great products.
Okay. Yeah, I found
Duke Cannon makes a big ass brick of Manly soap, and that soap comes in the scent smells like victory.
There's also a scent called Naval Diplomacy.
Yeah. So I asked Dennis how he felt about this. And he went on a bit of a rant. And so this is, I wrote, because I'm very good at typing.
Yes.
Kathleen, I don't know if you know this about me. I'm very good at typing.
Okay.
So I transcribed his rant, and here is what he had to say.
Okay.
Being embarrassed to bring it to the checkout. It's embarrassing to me that the products that I like either have to have slogans that are like, this isn't your lady soap, or like, big ass brick of brick. Everything's like shower power extreme. I'm not playing a video game. This is how they appealed to boys in the 90s to play video games. It's a holdover from that. It's fucking soap. It's just fucking soap.
It's just fucking. Okay, you know what? Dennis is completely right about this, but since there are so many products out there geared towards men with this sort of theory behind it, you know, this like Manly Man marketing ploys behind it, there's got to be research somewhere that says this works.
You're probably, you know what? You're probably right.
I'm looking at this Duke Cannon big ass brick of soap in the Naval Diplomacy scent. And if they just put the scents as the name instead of freaking calling it Naval Diplomacy, Bethany, it smells like fresh water, musk, and bergamot. Doesn't that, well, lovely.
That, so that's a great point, which segues into my next company, which straddles that line.
Okay.
So this is the company Dr. Squatch.
Squatch is a disgusting word.
It's Squatch as in like Sasquatch.
Oh,
as in like
a
burly, hairy, bipedal hominid.
Ugh.
So their slogan is feel like a man, smell like a champion. Because you're not a man if you're not a champion, because you got to be a winner, dudes. But the names of their products are actually much better than most. Their names are just the scent. They have like cedar citrus or alpine sage, which I think is a nice combination of I, as a man, want to feel masculine, but I also don't need someone to tell me that this baby bag will help me go to war.
Oh, this is, you know what? Their logo is really cute. And I'm looking at a bar of natural soap called Pine Tar, which is, you know, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
It's certainly not like I fucked her last night and now I'm clean.
Kathleen, I found a brand of coffee called Bitch Slap Bukkake.
Oh,
and I was like,
what does even Bukkake mean? I've heard it before. Bukkake, Urban Dictionary, is putting your...
I might have Dennis cut that whole part out. It's a real bummer.
No, Dennis, you just... you bleep it out. Bleep it out.
Bleep it out in a whimsical and funny way, Dennis. So let's talk about this company in Massachusetts where people really love doing yoga.
Is it the Berkshires?
I don't know. I don't know the Berkshires very well. Massachusetts? I don't know. Anyway, maybe you want to take your boyfriend or your husband to yoga, but he's going to feel like it might turn him gay. Welcome to the stage, Broga. It's a stigma-smashing blend of strong yoga and smart fitness. So whereas yoga focuses on the quote unquote girlier aspects like flexibility and I don't know, the spiritual practice of getting in alignment with yourself.
Yeah.
Broga is about strength training because that is more of a masculine thing. And if, Kathleen, you want to bring your guy to Broga,
yeah,
don't be afraid. He won't have to use one of your yoga mats because they sell Broga mats.
Okay. I'm on the Broga website. I do see a lady in the background, but I also see dudes. One's got a big beard, very fit. Okay. Right off the bat, I think, like, my eyes couldn't roll further back into my head if they tried. But then I think about how it sucks that there's a stigma about yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks that a lot of men, even in the year 2022, are still feel like it's not for them because they're men.
Sure.
And I see this as maybe a way of bridging the gap to teaching certain men who are not yet in touch with their inner femininity, who are still too scared of their inner peace, or like too scared that yoga is too feminine for them to do it. I feel like this might bridge the gap. It's a terrible name.
It's a terrible name. It's definitely a shame that our society has made this, I think, older generation of men have this sense of panic.
Yes.
Like masculine panic. And so all of these products that are no different from any other products that anyone else uses have to be hyper masculinized. So, but I don't think it's doing anyone any favors calling it Broga. I think you call it yoga and then you just have different people doing it so guys can see, oh, someone who looks like me is doing it. It doesn't have to be like, but we're making it do. Because then there's the panic remains. You're just leaning into the panic.
Funny enough, Broga is also the name of a window and door company.
All right. So then there's a couple other things. There's Brosé wine. It's rosé for dudes. The logo is a fist. There's Bro Potpourri. Scents include 18th hole, barbecue, and just football scented potpourri.
Who wants potpourri? It smells like barbecue. That's disgusting.
Bros do. Okay. Kathleen, you mentioned Axe. It's what your husband uses in his hair.
And he's embarrassed. He orders it online because he doesn't want to have to go to CVS to purchase it because he's embarrassed to, like, use one of their products.
I'll say this about Axe.
Yeah.
They have a great sense of humor about themselves.
They
know
do.
Exactly who they are.
Uh-huh.
What I didn't realize is they've been around since 1983.
Oh, I didn't realize that either.
They've been around forever. Kathleen, let's do a tour of Axe body spray names through the ages.
Oh, okay. Yes, please.
I'm just going to read some out to you. You just say something. And if anything hits you as being particularly interesting or fun, you just let me know, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. Brave.
Mm.
Marine.
Oh.
Tempest.
Liar.
Adrenaline.
Okay.
Accelerate.
Ooh.
Maniac.
That's probably the guys I dated in college.
Conviction.
Oh.
So this is the part where they turned me in their direction. So this is from 2003. This one actually made me laugh.
Okay.
So they used TV advertising that showed many men who are successful with women, but they were very tongue-in-cheek. So it was like a guy at the dentist with, like, getting braces put on,
uh-huh,
and he, like, makes eyes at the female dental assistant and she sort of swoons. And then there's a guy who hits on a mannequin thinking he can, like, get on the mannequin's good side. And then at the end of the advertising, there are thousands of men holding Axe Conviction body spray and singing in a choir by a statue of a man who is also holding Axe Conviction body spray. Like, it's very funny and tongue-in-cheek.
Well, I love it. I love that they're not taking themselves too seriously.
Right.
I wish that Victoria's Secret would maybe follow suit because why in God's name are they still making perfumes named things like Love Spell?
Yes. Yes.
Like, fuck Love Spell. I want Money Spell. That's what I want.
We're going to get to that, Kathleen.
Okay.
We're going to get to lady names. Here's a few more. Axe Vice, Dark Temptation.
Ooh.
Instinct. Cool Metal.
Oh.
Anarchy. This one was advertised as capable of attracting women and causing chaos in the process. Snake Peel.
Oh.
Deep Space.
Sports blast. Yeah, I'm going to go out and blast some sports. Yeah.
Black chill.
Oh.
And then something happened in like the 2013s because they had peace and harmony sense. And I read this article. All of my sources obviously are listed in the show notes. But someone wrote, the best part, they all smell like watermelon, even anarchy.
That's actually kind of sweet. I like watermelon.
I mean, they all really do. All right. Testicle hygiene products, Kathleen, because you want to stay clean. You got to take care of your body. But it seems like even companies that work in testicle hygiene and should be cool with testicle hygiene have a real hard time talking and naming things for testicle hygiene.
I mean, the testicles, they can smell really bad if you don't take care of them in the proper way.
Absolutely. And there's wipes for that. There's powders for that. You can call them things like body wash, but no.
Yeah, no shame. No one wants to smell you after you get out of that seat and walk away.
Oh, God. All right. So here are some names for testicle hygiene products, Kathleen. Comfy Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Fresh Balls. D's Nuts. Top Cock.
Oh.
And my favorite, Ballsy's Ball Wash. Nuts, Butt, and Body Wash.
I see, Bethany.
Because Ballsy doesn't believe men will understand what a body wash does. And so they have to tell you guys distinctly where to put the body wash.
It's like my brother and I, a couple of years ago, we made a marketing plan about a towel we wanted to create called Not Your Face. And each quarter of the towel was embroidered with the part of your body where you're supposed to dry off with that corner of the towel.
Kathleen, I hate to tell you, it's already been done. There is a towel. I don't know if it's still for sale, but it was when I was going to college.
Yeah.
It was bisected. One side said face and one side said butt.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to do. A quarter for derriere.
Yeah.
One that said jewels, one that said face. Oh, man.
Well, Kathleen, you know, you're talking about, like, will any of these product names be about murder?
Yeah.
This is as close as I found.
Oh.
This is Home Cleaning Supplies. The brand is Home.
I see.
And they are home cleaning supplies for men because they don't believe that guys will ever do anything in the home unless it looks like you're about to, you know, go to Afghanistan, like you said.
Slashed a bitch and now her blood is all cleaned up properly.
Right. So their moist towelettes are called Fierce Disinfecting Wipes. Clean it like you mean it.
That's cute.
Laundry detergent is called Defending Your Clothes. And their kitchen cleaner is called Bacteria Massacre.
I like that. I like that. I'm going to massacre this bacteria, man. I'm going to pound it. I'm going to wipe it. And it's going to be dead.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's what they think everyone needs to hear if they're a man and needs to clean their house. Now, lastly, Kathleen, I don't want this all to be about how awful these companies are advertising for men, because they're also awfully advertising to women. We get our share of awful names.
Yeah.
When it comes to cosmetics, women's products are hyper-sexualized.
Yes.
If you are a cosmetics user, whatever gender you are, you've probably seen NARS. Climax Mascara.
Oh, yeah.
Orgasm Blush.
That's my favorite blush.
It's a great blush.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they also test on animals. Deep Throat Blush.
I've had that one. I've purchased that one, too.
Or Orgasm Afterglow Lip Balm.
I haven't had that one yet.
Urban Decay has a Vice lipstick in the color 69.
Oh, no.
Smashbox has their O-Glow Blush.
Oh.
Fenty Beauty has a plush matte lipstick in Spanked. Okay. And there is a nail polish color from Elamasca called Throb.
I don't understand what that means. I don't. I mean, your nails. Your nails are not going to throb.
Yeah, it's a bright red color, if that helps.
You're supposed to paint your vagina with it? I don't get it.
It just throb. I don't know. Okay. Throb. Maybe it's what happens when you stub your toe. It turns red. It's throbbing. Maybe I'm misunderstanding it. And as an honorable mention, let's remember in 2011 when Dove marketed deodorant that would make women feel more confident about our ugly, ugly underarms in just 5 days with their Dove Ultimate Ghost Sleeveless Deodorant.
That's right.
because they wanted to make us feel panicked insecurity about our gender.
Your armpits are disgusting.
This is just a gentle reminder. If you work for a marketing organization, maybe allow people to be a little bit more nuanced.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you are, you know, whatever gender you are, you just buy whatever product calls to you. There's nothing wrong with it. Anyone can buy anything. And don't feel like it has to be. Don't feel like it has to be something that you can go to war with. Kathleen, I got an email from our friends at Truebill this week, and it said, "Hey, Bethany, just a heads up, this repeating bill you have is getting more expensive this month. You might want to check into that and see what's going on." Kathleen, I knew I loved Truebill because it's this new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need or that you don't want or you forgot about. But they also give you this rundown on, hey, a heads up, you have three bills coming this week, or hey, a heads up, Netflix got more expensive, or hey, a heads up, we don't know what this charge is, do you? And they will even go in, Kathleen, and negotiate like with your cable company to get you a cheaper price if it's possible. Truebill is like the person who knows your money when you don't know your money.
You know what, Bethany? I'm about to shame myself publicly. I had $100 in charges a month that I didn't even realize I had. Can you believe that? When I signed up for Truebill, they were like, hey, this is the Truebill concierge. Here are all your unwanted subscriptions. Don't pay for them anymore.
Yeah. And by the way, you're not alone. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill, and you are now saving $1,200 a year by getting rid of that $100 a month subscription. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap.
And your Truebill concierge is there whenever you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions. So you don't have to.
Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/taste.
Go right now to Truebill.com/taste. It could save you thousands a year.
Truebill.com/taste. Kathleen, I was having a conversation with my nutritionist the other day, and she was talking about how much more expensive food has become. And that is why I have even more appreciation for every plate. If you are trying to create healthy, real meals, but you also want your wallet to be a little bit fuller, every plate is America's best value meal kit.
Yes, even at full price, every plate is still 50% cheaper than a meal made from grocery store ingredients, making it really easy to save money. And if you're somebody who doesn't really know how to cook, or maybe you have a partner who pretends to not know how to cook to get out of making dinner, now is your chance, because every plate meals are so easy. It comes in this box, all the ingredients are right there at arm's reach, and the instructions couldn't be simpler. Twice this week, Bethany, I was treated to a home-cooked meal that I didn't have to lift a finger to make, because Neil's always like, oh, you're so good at cooking on the fly. I don't know what to make. And I'm like, here's your every plate instructions. Thank you.
And their recipes are delicious. We got the creamy coconut chickpea curry over garlic basmati rice, which is a dream.
Love basmati with chickpeas.
And if you're someone like me who waits to figure out what they're having for dinner once they're already starving, every plate meals take just about 30 minutes to make. So have a glass of water, fill your stomach up a little bit. You can make your dinner and you're going to be eating really quickly.
I had the sweet potato and poblano fajitas. Oof. Oh my God, Bethany. And it comes with this lime crema.
Oh,
it was so fancy.
Plus, choose between 17 recipes that change each week and swap proteins, veggies, and sides to your liking. They make it really, really easy.
So try every plate for just $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering the code TASTE179.
Again, get started with every plate for just $1.79 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering the code TASTE179.
Everyplate.com using the code TASTE179. So I came across this article from a handful of years ago, but there is a new update and I want to share it with you.
Okay.
The U.S. military is turning to science fiction literature to figure out how they are going to fight wars in the future and how to predict how wars will unfold in the future.
I mean, they're smart to do it. Star Trek got it right with all those touch screens.
Yes.
You know, tap, 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 and no buttons in sight.
Bethany, you are absolutely right about this. Now, let me read you a passage. It's going to sound like a cool new Netflix show, but okay. It's not. Okay?
Okay.
In 2030, a severe drought triggers a refugee crisis, which in turn sparks a war between two African nations. The UN steps in, deploying US and French soldiers to keep borders secure. An information warfare specialist is sent in when a disinformation campaign depicts US forces destroying religious sites and infecting refugees with tainted vaccines and helps move to mitigate attacks from state anchors looking to destabilize the region. Just as the support for intervention in the conflict erodes in the United States, violence begins to rise, and the team is forced to work quickly to prevent crisis from growing into a larger conflict. Whew, that sounds like a really in-depth sci-fi military show on Netflix, right?
Absolutely. Starring a guy named Kane McDonough.
Okay.
And he's like dusty and he's burly and he's sexy and he's got hard, hard working hands, but they're still soft enough to caress the cheek of his lover.
Uh-huh. He's married to his high school sweetheart.
Yeah,
they're hoping for a child. Anyway, they're from Virginia.
Yeah, that'll never happen though if he keeps working so much.
This is not a novel. This is not a sci-fi book. This is a passage in one of the U.S. Army's science fiction prototypes, a teaching tool to imagine what the near future of warfare might look like and to prompt military personnel to think creatively about conflicts that they might end up fighting.
Okay.
The idea is that by pushing themselves to think beyond what's scientifically or technologically possible right now, the armed forces can be ready for whatever surprises the future may hold.
It's smart. It makes sense.
So artificial intelligence, robotics, digital modern day technology, and everything that fits into the gray matter in between is so much further advanced right now than anyone could have imagined even just 50 years ago. I don't know why, but when everyone's like, the future, they're always like, flying cars.
Yeah.
But the shit we have now is so much cooler than flying cars.
You know? I wouldn't want flying cars because then your sky gets all messed up, you know? Then you can never look up and enjoy the sunset. Or if you're me, look up and enjoy, you know, the noonday sun from the safety of your apartment. There would be stuff all over the place.
No, I agree. And, you know, it's how pissed would you be if your neighbor built their house, you know, twice the height of what it is now without getting the proper permits. And then all of a sudden you couldn't see the top of that pine tree that you like, right?
Right. I love that pine tree. And also, like, anytime people see things in the skies and they're like, it's an alien. I think it might be, but I think it's more likely that it's government tech that is so far advanced that we don't know. I think we are so much further advanced, as are other countries, than any citizens of those countries have any idea of.
You are correct. And so there's this network of like pulp science fiction writers, national security professionals, military officers, training organizations, and graphic novelists. And they all get together. It's like this, it's not a secret network, but it's a network. And they get together to visualize what battlefields might look like one day.
Wow.
It's so cool.
Let's say you're a graphic novelist.
Yeah.
And you write like sci-fi stuff. And then the government is like, hey, you know, come join this after school team. It's like an extracurricular. Yeah. It's for the government. Do you think you're allowed to tell your family? Or do you think that it's one of those top secret, like you can't tell your family where you're going? They have to think you're having an affair.
I think you're allowed to tell your family that you're a part of it. I don't think you're allowed to tell your family what goes on in there, right? Because, you know, when you're working on a project or maybe you're thinking about writing a book and you tell your friends the plot line and then they give you an idea that's like, wow, that's an amazing idea. Maybe I'll incorporate that. I feel like maybe that would be beneficial to the future of warfare group, the network of novelists and whatnot. Like you tell your best friend that you're working on this project for the government and your best friend Miranda's like, hey, you know, I just like had this daydream about this gun that shoots this way, left, right, and backwards.
Here's this tactical concern that's been bothering me at night.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, what if instead of rolly wheels and sneakers, there were bombs in there, you know? It's, and then you bring it up to your network of government officials and they're like, huh, let's work that into our next mock-up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the shoe bomber already tried. Fortunately, he didn't do it.
He didn't do it.
But yeah, I do often source my friends when I am looking for, you know, great new ideas for warfare.
So Back to the Future, the second movie, Marty McFly, he goes to the year 2015. And they had in that movie self-lacing shoes. But now Nike actually has a pair of self-lacing shoes out there. It's kind of like this generalized question, not just about these self-lacing shoes from Back to the Future. Did the movie predict the future, or did the future copy the movie? Is this network of sci-fi forward thinkers, military sci-fi thinkers, are they altering the future by even just getting together and thinking about what the future could hold? Would Nike have invented these self-lacing sneakers if it wasn't for the movie?
Right.
Or did the movie like genuinely predict something that was bound to happen anyway?
I mean, it's a good question. I think, you know, there's a law that states, not like a civil law, like a scientific law that says, like, just by observing something, you change it, right? So I think even the act of predicting something changes the future, unless you are, you know, you write it down and then you put it into an envelope and you seal that envelope. And then 20 years later, you're like, I predicted it. If you're in the position to be creating things, then your predictions inherently become the future, or at least influence it.
Say you were invited to join this network.
Yeah.
What is an idea that you might give them?
Well, okay. So I'm not great at, you know, I don't know a lot about attacking or strategy.
Yeah.
But what I think I'm good at, I think I'm good, you know, I'm so not good at anything military based. I was even like how to sneak around, but I'm not really good at, I stand out like a sore thumb.
Really?
I would question them approaching me. I guess I would be like, have you truly scraped the bottom of the barrel that you're, it's like if, you know, there's a line of presidents, like if it comes down to you, like, that's how far we've fallen in our country. It's like, you're the one in line for the presidency. That's when you know you're in trouble. I don't think I have any skills that the army or anyone in the government would want.
See, I think you do, Bethany. Like, you love top hats. You could work in tactical fashion. Like, maybe forget flying cars, maybe flying top hats. That if you see a bomb coming, you're wearing a top hat. This top hat springs, all of a sudden these like propeller blades pop out of the top hat and you are propelled to above of where the bomb is able to reach you.
Like a go-go gadget hat.
Yes, exactly. Oh, that's right. That wasn't an original idea.
Well, he didn't have a top hat, though. He didn't have a top hat. So, you know, you made it fancier. I think if I'm not in charge of actually creating, but I'm in charge of like, hey, we should put this in this, that I could do.
There you go.
What about you? I feel like you could, yours would be like sartorially based.
Mine would be like finding ways to hide cameras in unsuspecting individuals, like little old ladies at the grocery store who are overhearing like a mob conversation. Like, you're not going to put that camera in her wig, which is like the first place that they're going to look for. You're going to put it in the broken baggie of crackers that she has in her pocket, because all old ladies carry broken baggies of crackers in their pocket.
Totally. Or if you're like everyone's aunt, your bag is covered in a lining of plastic wrap so that she can go to the buffet and take samples home in her purse. So like you make a saran wrap that's capable of also, you know, detecting location trackers and like putting it, you know, designing these products for people that people wouldn't suspect. You'd suspect like the burly guy or, you know, like the pulled together woman who maybe looks like a spy, but you wouldn't suspect the old woman or my aunt.
You know what? I love people who do double duty. Double duty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in 2017, the Marine Corps were like, let's have a competition. Let's have a writing competition. So officers at the Marine Corps Warfighting Laboratories / Futures Directorate in Quantico, Virginia, they launched this creative writing competition for the members of the Marine Corps to look at threats in a different way. They had 18 finalists out of 84 entries, and it was judged by the author of World War Z, Max Brooks.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
That had to be fun for him.
And can you imagine, like, you're just minding your own business. You join the Marine Corps because you're like, I'm going to help my country. And then all of a sudden, Max Brooks, the author of World War Z, is like, you've got some talent here. You're like, peace out, military. I'm a writer now.
I'm in Hollywood now, suckers.
Bye. So futuristic exoskeletons, electromagnetic pulse weapons, combat-ready boots, Bethany, this is coming.
I've heard about the exoskeletons. I find this fascinating.
Yes, robot exoskeletons.
Yeah.
They have arrived, Bethany. It's not just, I don't know, the Avengers. Robert Downey Jr., I always forget what his name is on the Avengers.
Iron Man?
Yes. Oh, there you go. Iron Man.
Yeah. So these are things we have now.
Yes, Bethany. They are things we have now. So we're not the only country doing this. And this is the new update to the story. Germany is now doing this too. And it is a big deal in Germany. In The Guardian this summer, they published an article that described a military vehicle pulling up outside a German university in Tübingen. It's like a picturesque 15th century university. Great philosophers have graduated from this school, but also this school is very left-leaning. Like, it's the Green Party in Germany, so they're left-leaning academics. So when a military vehicle pulled up, everybody was like, huh?
Yeah.
What are they doing? Especially because in 2018, there was a huge protest at this school. Students were speaking against Europe and the artificial intelligence research hub that was, like, supposedly supposed to be built near the university. They were like, no, we are academics, no artificial intelligence here. So the project in Germany is called Project Cassandra. It is only literary scholars and the military. That is it. Using literature to predict what Germany may have to face in the future. And it's called Project Cassandra because, you know, the whole story of the Trojan War?
Yeah.
There was a priestess named Cassandra. She had the gift of foresight, and she predicted that the Greek soldiers were hiding inside of the Trojan horse, and that, you know, the death of King Agamemnon was coming and everything like that. And they were like, ah, you're crazy, lady. So they named it after her, which I think is kind of sweet and also very clever. But German, local German media is like, these writers, they think that they can visualize the world in a way that no one else can imagine. Ha, they're stupid.
Oh, wow. So they're repeating the mistakes of the tale of the Trojan horse.
Precisely. The German media doesn't think that this is something that the German military should be pursuing, but I'm with America on this. I think that sci-fi writers of fantastical tactical warfare, I think that they may be onto something. To wrap this up, let's talk about predictions in history that were made that actually came true, okay?
Great, totally.
2001 A Space Odyssey, they predicted iPads. It is described as a device called a news pad. It could be plugged into the ship's information circuit to scan the latest reports from the Earth.
That's, wow, okay.
Cell phones, Bethany. Nikola Tesla, an engineer and inventor who briefly worked with Thomas Edison, in 1909, he suggested that someday people would be walking around with phones in their pockets.
Edison was a big old jerk face, but Tesla was pretty cool.
President Obama, Bethany.
Did Tesla predict Obama?
Nope. Author John Bruner. He is the author of Stand on Zanzibar, an award-winning 1969 science fiction novel set in the year 2010, he predicted that there would be a president called President Obama.
Shut up.
Shit you not. John Bruner also predicted DVRs, satellite news, terror threats, and legal marijuana.
Whoa!
Still can't get over his character, President Obama, in his book.
That's crazy.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Obama.
Credit cards were predicted in 1888.
Was it like, we're going to have this thing that says I'm good for it?
It was a science fiction writer. His name was Edward Bellamy. He wrote a book called Looking Backward. And one character explained it. Each person is given a punch card with which he proceeds at the public storehouses found in every community. Whatever he desires, whenever he desires it, he can get it.
That's a credit card.
I'm not going to go through all of these, but let me tell you my favorite one. In 1987, Omni magazine interviewed a popular movie critic. You might recognize his name, Roger Ebert. They asked him to predict the future of cinema. He said, "We will have high definition, widescreen television sets, and a push button dialing system to order a movie whenever you want it, at the time you want it. You will not have to go to a video store, but instead you will have a movie on demand and you will pay for it."
What year was this?
1987.
Wow.
Okay. And then one more last very cool thing that I need to tell you, Bethany. And this is a book we may have all read. Ray Bradbury, 1953, the dystopian novel Fahrenheit 451. That novel predicted wireless earbuds.
Wait. Yep. When? What does it say?
In the society of Bradbury's book, they're obsessed with entertainment and they need to be constantly distracted by mass media. And many of them do so with little seashells filling their ears with an electronic ocean sound, music and talk and blah, blah, blah.
That's right. I forgot about that.
We all have little seashells.
And I feel really attacked by the description of everyone needs to be distracted all the time by content and entertainment, because it's absolutely me. If it's too quiet in my apartment for too long, I'm like, where's a podcast? I need another podcast. No more thinking in my own brain.
For some, starting a family isn't easy. You meet your person, you made some commitments, and now's the fun part, right? Well, not always. Sometimes growing your family takes a little extra science, support, and a whole lot of success.
You will find that science, support, and success at RMA Fertility Centers. For over 20 years, RMA's innovative research, state-of-the-art fertility centers, and dedicated fertility specialists have helped bring more than 50,000 babies to loving homes across the U.S. and around the world.
And with success rates above the national average, RMA is a destination for fertility care. And now they're opening an office in our backyard. RMA Jersey City is coming this fall 2022.
So go ahead, make an appointment today at rmanetwork.com.
That's rmanetwork.com. Bethany, did you hear about this monkey queen in Japan?
No, tell me. I love a monkey queen. Tell me.
Okay. So this monkey queen in Japan led a violent coup to become her troops' first female leader. The young female fought her own mother and four top-ranking males to seize control of her troop, a 677-member troop of Japanese macaques, which is a type of monkey, an old-world monkey. They have these big, fat cheeks they can store some food in. And she's a 9-year-old female living in Japan. She lives at a natural zoological garden, and in the reserve's 70-year history, she is the first female troop leader.
Wow.
She assaulted her mother. It's so crazy.
I mean, you wonder what in monkey society made her just sick of everyone's shit. And she's like, I can do this. I can do better. I wonder what pushed her over the edge. You know, like someone took her stick.
Her name is Yaki. I know. And she, Bethany, she beat up the elderly Nanchu, the alpha male, 31-year-old elderly male who had ruled. He'd ruled the troop for 5 years. She was like, punch you in the face, Nanchu. My name is Yaki and I'm here.
That's nuts. Good for her. I mean, you know what? Good for her. She broke that glass ceiling of monkey persondom. That's wild.
No, literally, Bethany, it's
literally
wild.
She literally beat her own mother up. Like, yeah, I know a couple people who, you know, there's certain families where you're like, they get into physical brawls. I don't understand families where they all wrestle. Do you know families where they all wrestle?
No, I don't, but I know what you're talking about.
Like, it's just like, what? It's people who actually like push each other. Like, I don't understand it.
It's like if there's a fight between two siblings, dad is like, okay, let's go out to the yard. You're gonna fight this out like my father taught B. And then the whole family's like, they're with popcorn. They're like, Billy, fight Tommy.
I don't get it. I don't understand it. But like, even growing up, there were siblings who would like physically be fighting each other. Like there were these two twins who lived down the street from me. Yeah. They were always wrestling all the time. Like nothing terribly serious, but I've never gotten into a physical brawl with anyone.
Oh, I
like a wrestling match.
When I was younger, my brother and I used to beat the shit out of each other, Bethany. But you know, that's neither here nor now.
See, maybe that's like I have two sisters. We never beat each other up. We never got into. I kind of want to wrestle someone just because I don't know. I feel like I might be kind of good at it. I may have this secret skill of grappling and wrestling that's untapped.
So here's what we're gonna do. We're going to invite your sister Nicole to come to New York. We're going to put a blow up pool of Jell-O and pudding in your living room, and you two are just gonna have it out.
I feel like at her core, Nicole's a pacifist, and I don't think she'd do it. Like, I've asked both of my sisters to get sister tattoos with me, and both of them said no.
Really? Why?
Like, neither of my sisters want to do anything remotely, like, exciting or dangerous with me. Like, they're not going to get tattoos. They're not going to wrestle in Jell-O in my living room. You know, they're not up for anything fun.
Bethany, I hope they don't listen to this podcast.
Nicole does.
Yeah.
Speaking of my sisters.
Yeah.
I haven't been given permission to tell this story, but I'm just going to wing it.
Okay.
So I was texting my younger sister last week about the movie Matrix Reanimator, Matrix Revolution, Matrix, the new one, Matrix Reassessment, whatever it's called, Matrix Reassessment.
On HBO Max.
And she had sort of been in the room while it was playing, but she hadn't seen it really. And she was asking me if I had seen it. And she said, well, I was looking up a bunch of reviews and I read this one review from this woman named Linda Holmes. Linda Holmes works for NPR. She works on a podcast over there, and she does like entertainment pop culture reporting.
Yeah.
And my sister said she wrote a review for Matrix Reassessment because she remembered that Linda Holmes wrote the review because Linda Holmes has written two books. And in the article, she references the two books she's written. Okay.
Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, I think so. It might be double dipping a little bit, but I think it applied somehow.
Okay.
So my sister wanted to send me the review because she liked it, but she couldn't find it. And she kept Googling. This was about 3 days after she initially read it.
Yeah.
She's looking and looking. She cannot find the article anywhere. She sees a different review written by a different entertainment reporter at NPR, but she could not find the one written by Linda Holmes. And she asked her husband, that was by Linda Holmes, right? And her husband confirmed, because right after she read it to him and said the name and all of this.
Yeah.
So I go to the source, Kathleen, because I am nothing if not a journalist. I found Linda Holmes on Twitter and I DM'd her.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, here's what's going on. Can you send this article you wrote, your review of Matrix Reassessment? She DM'd me immediately and said, I have never written this article. to further it, I've never seen the movie. So when it comes to an article about the Matrix, my younger sister might be in the Matrix.
Oh, my God.
So then I said to her, OK, well, this is simple. This was only a few days ago.
Yeah.
Look in your internet browsing history.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah. Here's the problem. My sister is paranoid that her phone is spying on her. And so she only uses incognito mode. And I said, OK, well, there are certain apps that you can download, like, you know, parents tracking their kids' phone use apps that show you their incognito mode search history.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
I don't know if they work or not, but I found an article and it had like a bunch of them listed. And I said, so download that and then let's look at your browsing history. And she said, I won't do it because that defeats the purpose of me being afraid of my phone if I give my phone temporary permission to see my browsing history. So we're thwarted and I don't know how to continue. Like, I don't know what this means, because the things in this review were so specific to this one author, and this author says that she never wrote this review. And so I don't know what to do with this.
There's a wrinkle in time.
This is what I think. I think that one sister slipped into because the veil, it's so thin, slipped into another reality, slipped into another timeline, dimensional portal, and is in this timeline. And I don't know, you know, what does this mean for all of us?
Bethany, I, with my whole heart, believe that we can slip into wrinkles in time without knowing it and slip right back into our main timeline and we won't know the difference.
Am I being a little tongue in cheek? Yes. Do I believe in, you know, alternate timelines and alternate dimensions? Absolutely. Is it more likely that my sister is misremembering what she read? Sure. But it's crazy the specifics she remembered that were specific to this author.
Wrinkle in Time.
And the author said she didn't write it.
Your sister's not on drugs. She's not a drinker. Wrinkle in Time.
And here's the funny thing.
Yeah.
If I had written an article for Matrix Reassessments and someone reached out and said, I can't find it, can you send it to me? I would definitely say I never wrote it just to mess with them because it is a Matrix review. So you kind of do want to create an alternate timeline sort of idea. I would definitely mess with them and be like, what article? And never send it to them. You gotta have fun with people, you know?
Speaking of the Matrix, did you watch any good movies this weekend?
No, I tried watching one and didn't like it, so I stopped. That's my story from the weekend. What about you? What did you watch? Yeah,
Bethany. I finished this really cute YA novel called You Have a Match by author Emma Lord. And sometimes you just need something easygoing, something that's not going to make you question your morals or morality of immigration to America or, you know what I mean? Just
yeah, you just want something easy.
Something easy. It was the cutest book. I now have a Goodreads account for anybody who wants to follow me. Just search Webgirl Kathleen on Goodreads. What would you do, Bethany, if you took 23andMe and you discovered that you had a secret full-blood sister who was, only 2 years older than you?
I mean, I'd have to find her.
Exactly. And then hilarity ensues.
Oh, hilarity. I thought it was going to be like she's a vampire.
No, at camp. And that is You Have a Match by Emma Lord.
Do they go to camp together?
They go to camp together, Bethany. Here's the thing. It's been a while since I've read a YA book, and I was really pleased by how gender fluid the book was. Like, it wasn't a big deal that there was like a lesbian, and there wasn't a big deal that there was a non-binary character, and there were, you know, characters who went by the pronouns they. And it wasn't like it was pointed out as that was something that defined them. And I thought that was really the most beautiful part of the book.
The most beautiful part wasn't that the full-blood sister was a vampire?
No, Bethany, she wasn't a vampire, but she was a lesbian.
Well, who's a vampire?
Nobody.
Who in the book is a vampire? There's no vampires in that YA novel, Kathleen.
You mean to tell me
that you read a YA novel and there was not a single vampire in that novel?
Not a vampire, not even a drop of blood. Oh wait, no, maybe somebody broke their arm, but is there blood when you break an arm? Unless it breaks, I don't know.
It depends.
Does it always break the skin?
No, not always. If the bone comes through the skin, there's definitely blood. You better not break that arm around a vampire.
Can I share with you something I'm nervous about? And I'm just going to say a few sentences on it and then I'll report back.
Okay.
I have an appointment to get fillers this week.
Your face fillers?
Like my face. Like I have a consultation. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I won't. I have a consultation.
Where do you want to get fillers?
Okay. So I have wrinkles in the corner of my mouth because I stress purse my lips all the time. Mm-hmm. And also I get, it's so gross. I get like spit build up there and sometimes I'll get fungus in the corner of my mouth. So, you know, sometimes they can do fillers to just turn the corner of your mouth up.
Okay. Wow. I didn't know they could do that.
Yes. And then just a little bit between my eyes. Just, you know, that those 11s as Sex and the City calls it.
So what makes you nervous about it?
Needles, but also, what if it looks terrible? What if it looks so good that I spend my money on this garbage for the rest of my life?
I mean, that's something. Yeah. That's something to be aware of, for sure.
Yeah. And I still feel like there's a stigma around stuff like this, especially for women. It's like, oh, why are you so vain? Why can't you just age gracefully? I don't know.
I mean, I think whatever makes you feel good at the end of the day, I think it's a slippery slope that you need to have someone in your life who's willing to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. Because I think the danger is not in getting them. I think the danger is in you see yourself every single day. Mm-hmm. And so you may, years from now, start going overboard, but you're not able to see the difference and when you stop looking human. So you need someone in your life who's willing to say, stop here, because one more thing is going to make you look like a cat or whatever, you know, because you've lost the ability to see your own face like objectively. My only thing is like, make Neil promise that he'll tell you when you start looking like not human.
So I can't use Neil. Can I use you?
Sure. I'll tell you when you stop looking human.
I'm going to take before and after pictures and send them to you. Okay. And then you can tell me if I've gone too far.
I mean, I don't think you're going to go too far on your first try. I think if this is when you're like in your 70s and you have no wrinkles, but your face is this sort of oddly shiny, like there's no skin barrier left.
Like an apple that's been polished to the nth degree.
Yeah, exactly. And your top lip is the size of your index finger and your bottom lip is real small. I think that's when it starts to become a problem. But you do, you know, you do what makes you feel comfortable.
I'll report back. Miss Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that the best thing, if you feel like you don't want to drink water first thing in the morning, but you know you should drink water first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
If your stomach can handle it or whatever, eat like a tangerine or a nectarine first thing, because my digestion doesn't kick in for a while. But I still get hungry, but I don't feel like I can eat because I still don't. Like, it just makes me nauseated to think about eating.
Yeah.
So my nutritionist suggested some sort of small citrus fruit. So it's not too much to eat, but there's already water in it. And it's something and it's easily digestible. Citrus feels pretty easy for my body to digest. Yeah. So I've been doing that and I feel great in the mornings. So I highly recommend it.
Do you like grapefruit? Because I feel like that's an energizer citrus.
I do like grapefruit, but it's too much effort to eat. And so I won't do it.
Buy the peeled stuff.
I won't eat it. What about you, Kathleen? What'd you learn this week?
So I didn't learn a fact per se, but I learned this phrase and it touched me. I want to share it. The phrase is, feeling the need to be perfect doesn't make you perfect. It makes you paralyzed.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Where can people follow you on social media, Bethany?
You can follow me on Instagram, Ms. Bethany Watson. You can follow me on Twitter, at Radio Bethany. What about you?
Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also follow our podcast on social media, on Twitter, at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
We have an electronic mail address, and that is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We also have a snail mail address, an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And a big shout out to everybody who sent us Christmas cards. They were so lovely.
Yeah, they were so nice.
Sorry for the delayed thank you, but we just love seeing your families, and thank you for the kind notes.
Thank you so much. You also can leave us a voicemail. We play them at the end of almost every single episode. Give us a call, 917-994-0353.
And every month we do two live shows on Patreon, and we have a huge, huge announcement beginning in February of this year. We are adding another level with two new features. Do you want to tell the first feature, Bethany?
Yes. So a lot of you enjoy it when Dennis, who edits this podcast and is also my partner, jumps in with his snarky comments and his commentary. And so Dennis and I are starting a monthly podcast for Patreon. It will come out once a month. And it'll just be, you know, us talking about our relationship and a movie that has to do with our relationship. And it will probably devolve into bickering and tease fighting. So that's going to happen. And what else, Kathleen, is going to be on that same level of Patreon?
We are launching a book club. And I'm going to invite a taste bud every month to sort of be my co-host for book club. And on January 30th, that's this upcoming Sunday, I'm going to do a very loose launch where we're not reading a book. But if you want to be a part of the book club, you can log in and tell me what you want to see in a book club or recommend books. And it'll just be a short 30-minute conversation, a pre-book club, if you will, before we launch this new tier.
So once the new tier is launched, we will let you know. But in the meantime, you can check us out. Go to patreon.com/acquiredtaste.
Yeah.
Yes. And of course, if you join the new top level, you'll get everything below. So there you go.
And this podcast is edited by the delightful Dennis Callow. And you can follow him on social media at Dennis C-A-H-L-O.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies. This is Melissa from Long Island. I had to call to say that the way that Dennis feels about Lin-Manuel Miranda and the way that Kathleen feels about Guy Fieri matches the way that I feel about Pitbull. I cannot look at his bald, sweaty head without feeling completely repulsed. So thank you for giving me a forum in which to share my unpopular opinion, and keep doing what you're doing. You ladies are awesome. Bye.
Hey, ladies. Listener from Seattle over here. I've been trying to catch up and was listening to episode 338 where Kathleen mentions fan fiction again about After, and it just made me laugh because she was talking about how it started as like Twilight fan fiction and then it turned into like 50 Shades of Grey fan fiction and then it was Harry Styles fan fiction. I've always found it funny because the more as time goes by, the more like people find out where this all came from. And like, apparently Stephanie Meyer wrote it about My Chemical Romance and then it just like trickled to Harry Styles fan fiction. But it was just really funny because I remember it coming out when I was in like senior year of high school and I'm like staying up until midnight to read every single chapter. I think I was like scarred for life because I've never seen the movie, but hearing Kathleen talk about how it is so bad that it's so good makes me wonder if I should hop onto Netflix and maybe watch it. Anyway, I'm not going to say my name because that's embarrassing, but hope you ladies are doing wonderful. There you go. Nice fun fact. In reality, this Harry Styles fan fiction came from the origin of My Chemical Romance. Anyway, have a wonderful night.
Hi, Bethany. Hi, Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Michelle. I'm here with Taste Bud Caitlin, Taste Bud Casey, Taste Bud Rose, Taste Bud Brianne, and Taste Bud Sarah Don 21.
We are floating in a river. We are the Saco River in New Hampshire. And if you can hear that in the background, those are rapids. Sarah, we don't know where she went. Hopefully she made it over the rapids. Did she look like she had fun?
Okay, so the only issue is we're trying to also get beer to Brianne and Rose, and it's not happening. I think we might be stuck on a rock.
So you'll hear lots from us later. Oh my God, is this not recording? Oh wait, no, it is recording. Okay, we'll talk to you later. Okay, bye.
So I literally just left a message for my therapist, and at the very end of it, I was telling her how absolutely amazing your podcast is, you two ladies are, and the Facebook Bud group is. I don't know where I would be without all of it together. Growing up, I didn't have any friends, no one to talk to, no one to vent to, no one to help teach me those things that a young lady kind of needs to learn. And because of listening to all of the amazing things that you two bring to the table every week, I am getting recommendations. I'm getting things to Google and look into. I now know what face moisturizer is, and it is not the same thing as the stuff to put on my feet. So you two are so helpful. I feel like you're my best friends. I identify with both of you on so many different topics between your personalities and love of spooky things. And also the color neon pink. And the Facebook group, I can ask them the weirdest questions that I can't ask anyone else. And I feel safe there. And I get information, and it's just absolutely wonderful. Don't stop, please. You make me laugh.